Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
You know,
it's
kind of
like KKFN, KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver also.
Exactly. and I did step up my sock game when who cares what your socks look like? But I did step up my sock game for that very reason.
Right. They're actually hanging on to your legs now and not just loosely.
Yeah, but like, Zach, who seriously cares about your stupid socks?
Well,
you know, I mean, who gives a crap about them?
Well, when your socks are as loose as Nick Ferguson's scarves, I call you out on it. So, D-Mac, I'm hearing that Jerry Jeudy was the star of the day today. Is that accurate?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. And I was tweeting that out as well. I guess other people were saying it. It was so noticeable. And, you know, in the very beginning, it was like, oh, there's Deshaun Hamilton and Tim Patrick. And, you know, it's like, oh, okay, all right. And then they just stuck out Jeudy out there with Cortland Sutton. You're like, okay, that should be the next 10 years if they're lucky, you know, that sort of thing. Jeudy's, guys, what can we say? They got him. They got a stud. They got a guy who I don't know when exactly it's going to happen, but this guy's going to be a top five receiver in the NFL. Top five, never mind top 10, top five. And as good as Cortland Sutton is, and Cortland Sutton is fantastic. Guys, let's keep it real.
Yeah.
He's not Jerry Jeudy, okay? So whatever labels you want to put on things, even today you could see who number one was and who number two was.
D-Mac, and I love hearing that. Has it changed, you know, you being out there and actually looking at Jerry Jeudy on the field with this offense and with Drew Lock, has it changed your expectations for him now? Are you expecting more out of this rookie this year, Jerry Jeudy?
No, because my expectations for him were really high.
Right.
You know, they were extraordinarily high to begin with, so it doesn't change anything for me. But I don't know if anybody thought Jerry Judy's here to be brought along slowly. Stop. The end of that game. You know, he's here to be an impact player right away, and I'll be stunned, barring injury, knock on wood if you're with me, but he'll be that guy. He's making it look easy, fellas. It's funny, guys. In training camp, there are guys, for whatever reason, just always seem to be open, and that was Jerry Jeudy today. It's like he just always seemed to be open for whatever reason, and Stoke could speak to that. I think the reason why Stoke could speak to it is Stoke was
a really
good route runner. Well, you were. And like Eddie Royal was like that. And it's because you run really great routes. And when you run really precise, great routes, the quarterbacks know it. Everybody knows it.
That's
you're going
right.
to get the ball. And it's going to look like you're always open if you can be that precise. And you were like that, Stoke. That was one of your best qualities you had.
Because they were worried about everybody else. But
Oh my God.
No, we don't need to cover that guy. That's why you're open, because they don't need to cover me.
D-Mac.
Well, hey, Zach, I go back so far as I covered Stoke in multiple training camps for the Broncos, you know, for in different points of his career. And I also covered other guys like that, like Eddie Royal, like Wes Welker, Emmanuel to a certain degree, you know?
Yep.
I mean, I've just seen this over the years, and Jeudy has all those intangibles. They're not intangibles. What am I talking about? There are specific skills that he works incredibly hard on, and he's got them.
Yeah, I absolutely love to hear this. I mean, we could not be – because we were talking about earlier in the show, this is – and I said this, and I hope you agree, and if you don't, just tell me who else qualifies. Jerry Jeudy is the most hyped wide receiver in the history of the Denver Broncos. He's a first-round pick, top half of the first round from a blue blood program, and in a class that had been touted a year in advance. It's supposed to be the greatest wide receiver class of all time. And people were stunned that Henry Ruggs went ahead of him. And I just think there's the most, not pressure, but expectations for him to be great and for him to be great right away. So I think for a day like today on Friday, August 14th, you're telling me he's a star of day one of training camp as it relates to guys playing actual football. Man, what great news. That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to point out a star, that was easy. And it definitely was Jerry Jeudy. And boy, Zach, you forget the hype that was on Ashley Lee as a first round pick for the Broncos. But that's okay. That's all right that you forget how incredible the Ashley Lee period was. But you're absolutely positively right about everything. And today was that day. And it was fun to watch and see. And we're going to see this happen day after day after day. I have no doubts about it.
Before we let you go, I want to ask you one more, and this will be we'll let you go. We've already taken too much of your time here because you got 4 hours to fill. But how nice was it to see Bryce Callahan out there, not just out there, but picking off Drew Locke, making plays?
Let's not get overly excited about interceptions during training camp practices, but I'll say, because a lot of times, guys, man, a lot of times that's on other guys. Those receivers, Stokes, sometimes screw up their routes and do other kooky things. But that being said, yes, Bryce Callahan was there. He was running around. He was with the ones. You know, he's not the biggest fella in the world either, that Bryce Callahan.
No.
So we'll see if it holds up. But, yes, for everything that happened last year, it was nice to see today. I was glad to see it. And certainly glad to see, like, Bradley Chubb. And Bradley Chubb looks like he's moving, like, he looks fine. He looks, I don't know how he's feeling, but he certainly looks great.
If you didn't know anything, you would think he's 100% healthy and that he wasn't hurt?
You know, he's wearing a brace, so you always kind of like, oh, what's going on there? But, I mean, you know, a lot of guys wear braces and sure. Do things and whatever. So, yeah, I'd be like, fine. Bryce Callahan, I would have no idea that he had gone through the injury he had gone through. And, you know, it is funny, fellas. This is arguably the healthiest the Denver Broncos have ever been as a full team at this time of year.
It's a good
period.
Point.
Think
good
about
point.
That for a second.
It's a good point.
And so they look like it. They look like it today.
Hey, and I'm sorry because I know I said we let you go. Who is fielding punts?
I looked at that. They didn't really do punts. They did kickoff coverage. And they had, it was Hamler and Jeudy and Spencer and a couple of other guys that I, you know, really don't know and probably won't be on the team. But they really didn't do punts today. It was more kickoff coverage and return.
Okay.
Sounds good.
We look for all of the coverage pertaining to training camp. DMAC was out there in person, and you'll hear exactly what you need to know in addition to what we just covered on the drive starting in less than an hour. Darren, thank you.
You got it, guys. It's not who starts the game. It's who's finishing. So don't make too much of me having the day today, that's for sure.
Copy that. All right, great stuff. There he goes. D-Mac, right. Doing our coverage here. And we're going to be out there over the weekend, from what I understand as well. And you'll be out there Monday.
Yep.
Tyler Palumas will be out there Tuesday. And I'll be out there Wednesday.
Perfect.
So here we go, man. Here
Love
we
it.
Go.
Yeah, yeah. You know, good stuff from D-Mac. I think when you look at the return game, it's going to be, you know, Jeudy ain't returning anything.
And that's what I looked at you and right. I said, Jeudy?
No, Jeudy, he might just be the reserve guy back there. In case of an emergency, right, you go back there, you fair catch it. But you look at Hamler, you look at Deontay Spencer. I mean, those are the two return guys. Who else can it be? It's those two guys. Deontay Spencer, that's all he does.
Yeah.
If he makes a team, it's because of his return ability. Hamler might take that spot away from him. If depending on the roster, what it looks like when they're cutting that thing down to 53 guys. So that's going to be interesting. The thing to follow is how much – do they opportunity they give Hamler back there, and do they want to go with him, or do they want to just let Deontay Spencer be that guy?
It's going to be interesting. We'll track it, but D-Mac, when he was talking about the running backs, that they were, it sounded like, you tell, correct me if I'm wrong, but they were like splitting reps.
Yeah, so he didn't quite give me the answer of like, this is what is going on there. He's like, oh, they're just kind of splitting reps. So I'm going to break down here coming up here at some point what I want to see here probably after
2:30.
The next 2:30. Yep. I'll be and so that's going to be one of the top things that I'm looking for.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you a little bit more precise information
on
what's going on. Not just the, oh, well, they were splitting reps type of deal.
Well, sometimes DMAC can be like a little bit ambiguous.
Well, and when you're out there, let's be honest, there's a lot going on.
Tons.
You're looking at, okay, let me see who's left tackle, right tackle, what's going on over there, how many, and then you kind of like, oh, wait, who took that rep at running back?
Right. Nope, you're absolutely right.
How many
right.
reps did they take there?
You're absolutely
and so
right.
That's why it's so nice, because whenever me and you are out there, we have a game plan. Hey, yep. Zach, you go over there and you watch the special team stuff, I'll handle everything else. I got it. Just stay over there. Stay
you're
over
a there trip. With the, you're a trip.
Watch, you're no, a trip. No, it's like, you watch the defense, I'll watch the offense. Hey, yeah. I'm going to watch one-on-ones with the wide receivers, DBs. You go watch the one-on-ones with the outside linebackers and the offensive line. Those types of things we can split up, and
yep.
and you can conquer everything. Well, now we only got one person out there. There's only so much you can look at.
Right. Nope. Totally fair. Totally fair.
There's going to be, you know, my eyes will be definitely, I'll give you a sneak peek, will be on one side of the football over the other, though.
All right. I love it. I know where your focus will be, and I'll just come back Wednesday with Woody Page stories.
Right. Yes. I mean, well, you don't have Nikki to talk to this year, so, you know, no. it's going to be you and Woody the whole time.
Jeez.
I mean, you're the one that said it. You said it.
Oh, my God.
There's nobody that talks more at training camp than Zach By.
I mean,
you're just like holding court. Hey, Nikki, Woody. You know, you sit down on the bench with Woody. Next thing you know, it's like, Zach.
Oh, I love it.
What are we doing here?
Oh, I absolutely love it.
No, it's.
I love seeing everyone went out there.
Oh,
it's like,
I do
it's,
too.
It's great.
I do
it's
too.
It's great.
It is. We got so many great media members around town. It's always great seeing them. And we're this is a battle over here. The Avs, Coyotes, 2-2.
Yep.
Coyotes coming to play now.
More shots on goal than the Avs. If you told me that
right.
was the case.
They're attacking. The Avs will be fortunate to win this one. They played sloppy, way too many penalties, haven't been crisp, turnovers, just haven't looked like the same hockey team like they looked a couple days ago. They'll be fortunate to get away with this one if they can get a win.
If they can get a win. It's 2-2 in the third. About
11.
Approaching the midway point of the third period. My prediction right now, Jared Bednar, after this one, he's going to be pissed, even if they walk away with a win, because it's been an all-around sloppy performance.
Yes, so, and there was really, you know, when you look at it, the way that they started with a quick goal, you got that lead, boom, you're
right.
feeling good, the other team on the ropes, you give it right back. And then you come back in the second, you get a quick goal, and what do you do right away? You give it up again.
2 minutes later.
Yeah, it just that you just can't have that against a team that you're better than.
Speaking of lock and horns with the same opponent here, as we are in game two of a 7-game series, the Avs and Coyotes. Just like that, the Rockies are going to host the Rangers, who they just started the season with. And, you know, man, you know the phrase in life, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is?
Sure.
I want to know if that's the case with the Colorado Rockies relief pitching.
And that's fair. I still feel good about them.
You do?
I do. I think
after watching a 32 runs scored by the D-backs in 3 games?
It wasn't all on the relief pitching, was it?
Most of it.
Well,
32 runs in 3 games. Not ideal. Not ideal.
No, certainly it's not. And it's not like they were facing the Yankees
right.
lineup
right.
offensively. So, not good. Sometimes you're going to have those. To think that this relief pitcher was going to go the whole season and keep doing what they were doing, I think that's a little naive. But hopefully we can find a happy medium here. We'll see. We'll see. But I tend to think with what I saw and the depth that they have that they're going to find a way to get back on track. I mean, Kinley, Almonte, Diaz, Bard, Hoffman. I mean, I still like that group. I still really do like that group, and I think that they'll be better. Do you think they'll be better, or do you think we're going to be seeing these ups and downs the rest of the year?
I think you're going to be seeing the ups and downs the rest of the year. And it gives me no pleasure saying that into a microphone, certainly.
Well, why are you saying it with a big smile on your face?
Stop though? It!
Big smile.
You're lucky it's Friday. Don't forget the questions coming in. You know, and the questions that I saw in the D-back series validated the preseason questions. So it just wasn't good enough. And it was even before the D-back series. So, look, and tonight on the mound for Texas, Lance
Lynn. He's been great.
He's been great. And he's facing a rookie, Ryan Castellani, who was terrific in his first outing. He was perfect through four, if you remember. But Lynn, who's 2-0, has an ERA of 1.16.
Yeah.
He started opening day against the Rocks, struck out 9 in 6 shutout innings, got the victory in that 1-0 Rangers win.
David, oh, my gosh.
David Dahl was the only one that touched him. The 33-year-old has pitched traditionally, Stoke, very well at Coors Field. He's 1-1, 2.84 ERA in 4 career starts. The Rangers, you need to know this before tonight, they're playing really good baseball.
Great opportunity for the Avs. I missed everything you said right there.
The Rangers.
Can you repeat that, please?
Nope, but the Rangers.
Missed opportunity. I think it was McKinnon. Oh, my goodness, that was so pretty.
The Texas Rangers started the season losing 8 of their first 11 games, so it didn't look good at the outset. Stoke, they've won 5 of their last 6.
So they're playing better.
They're playing better.
And they got their ace on the mound who's pitching great this year. And we saw him the first game of the year, and he dominated us. And I said, well, you know, it's not like we're facing Jacob DeGrom here. Well, this guy's turning out to be, you know, like Jacob DeGrom right now,
right.
That type of pitcher. Right. So hopefully they can solve him and figure him out. And because, look, I mean, the bullpen needs a break here, right? We got a rookie pitcher on the mound, a guy that had one start, looked great. I think Bud Black said they're going to his pitch count last game was around 60. This time it's going to be 75, so they'll crank
it
up a little bit
for
him. So, hey, it's going to be a tough matchup for the Rockies.
And we officially are done with the seeding games in the bubble.
And that's what I wanted to get to. I wanted to ask you about that, how you think, how you feel heading into the playoffs for the Nuggets, because I don't feel very confident at all. At all. Like, I'm giving out passes to them and all. You know, I've told you that, and it's fine because everything that's going on. But I don't feel confident. I don't care who they're playing. You know, y'all want to all avoid the Mavericks and this team, that team. I don't care. The Jazz, Trailblazers, Mavericks. I'm nervous about whoever they're playing right now.
Well, they're playing the Jazz. It's set in stone. We start on Monday.
And I'm nervous. Are you nervous? How do you feel they handled the end of the bubble, and how do you feel heading into the playoffs?
My sentiment heading into Monday, it's more about who they don't have than how they operated in the last 3 games. Will Barton and Gary Harris have been huge pieces. That is 40% of your starting lineup. They've been huge pieces for this team. And to think that missing 40% of your lineup is not going to be a factor, I think is naive. Even as well as Michael Porter Jr. has played. I'm watching. You know, Michael Porter Jr. has been great. He's on my all-bubble team. I mean, he was terrific, all right? But I'm watching him defensively just run out at shooters on simple pump fakes with, like, Lou Williams. Like, no, the scouting report. He does not want to shoot. And then he's giving up. Like, Mike Malone, extremely frustrated, quick timeouts. On Monday, he gets pulled. And they just don't have the same weapons that they had at the start of the season.
I don't think he played at all today.
He didn't. They rested him. They rested everyone. Jokic played 10 minutes.
They played some guys, but I'm saying but they didn't play him at all.
Right. No.
You know, at all.
No starter played more than 18 minutes today. Jokic, Murray just played 10 minutes. If you're going to play him for that short amount, I wouldn't even play him.
Honestly. That's what I'm saying. What are we doing? What's the plan here? I don't like the plan. And yeah, you got guys that are injured. I get it. You're trying to rest guys, but if you're going to rest them, rest them. If you're not, play them. Like, let's get ready to go. This is the time to get ready to go, and it doesn't seem like we're going to be ready to go. And I think more so that's going to hurt them than not having Gary Harris and Will Barton. I think not being ready to play 4 quarters of basketball and having your legs under you, being ready to finish, because we got to remember that long layoff that they had.
Of course.
So it wasn't like, okay, well, they did it a month ago. No, they didn't. They haven't done it. They haven't been doing it. They haven't done it. You had a long layoff. You needed to be pedal to the metal once you got in the bubble. And for whatever reason, you're scared of what? You want to get guys rest? They had enough rest. I'm not buying that. Want to keep guys healthy? What? The Lakers aren't worried about guys being healthy. The Clippers aren't worried about that. And you can't coach in fear. You got to coach with the presence and the mindset of, you know what? It is what it is. If guys get hurt, guys are going to get hurt. But we have to be ready to go game one. What is it, Monday against the Jazz?
Yeah.
And I don't think they will be.
I think they will be. I think they're going to beat the Jazz in the first round.
So.
I am not letting
the
way
the
that.
Jazz. I'm telling you right now. They mishandled this situation.
Well,
I'm picking the Jazz.
And I'm picking the Nuggets.
Perfect.
Put something on it.
Yeah. What
put
do you
something.
Want?
Well, and here's.
I'll put it on it.
Before you go ahead and wager something away, the Jazz handle their group the same way. Donovan Mitchell played 11 minutes against the Spurs yesterday. They're doing it the exact. He didn't even play Rudy Gobert. He didn't play him. So it's not like they're coming into some like battle tested. The Jazz are being handled the same way. The Nuggets beat them three times out of three times this year. The Nuggets are getting past the Jazz in the first round.
I don't think they are.
The reason you're saying they're going to lose four times in 2 weeks is because they didn't play the fourth quarters against the Lakers and the Clippers.
They tapped out at halftime, pretty much. Yes. They're not going to be in finish mode. I think that's a big deal. I'm not just making it up. I really think it's a big deal to not have that mindset and not have done it recently, going out there and finishing games, closing games, being in those tight situations. And even if the games don't truly matter, you're putting yourselves in those situations. And you saw the Lakers and how, you know, they ran that great play and Kuzma gets a shot off and hits a game winner. I mean, to me, that means something moving forward. That means something for that basketball team. And they're the stinking Lakers with LeBron James on their basketball team, but it still means something. And the Nuggets are the Nuggets. They're raw. And they're a team that's been in the playoffs once here with this group.
Mm-hmm.
And we're expecting them just to like, okay, let's go out there. To me, the way they handle it is okay, we're not going to really try to win a championship. All we care about is, you know, that's the way I think they handled the situation,
Mike
Zach.
Malone.
If you want to win a championship, man, you go out there and you finish the bubble and you attack it like it means something, and they didn't do that. They didn't approach it that way, and I think it's going to cost
them. They approached it that way because it did mean so much. It does mean so much. That's why they would be willing to operate that way. Mike Malone wants to win so bad. They want this so bad to the point where they would sacrifice a seeding game so they can be in a better position to win. I understand what you're saying.
Coffee for a week.
Done.
Deal.
Done.
Deal.
Done.
Deal.
Done, done, done.
I'll take the underdog.
Nuggets in six.
I'll take the underdog.
You sound like they're the favorite. Well, you're talking over there.
Well, I feel like it. I feel like the approach is going to hurt the Nuggets, unfortunately. And then, plus, you don't have two of your guys. You can't expect those two guys to play, can you?
No, I'm not.
There's no way.
I'm not.
Just drop them in the lineup.
Nope. I don't think they're going to play games one through four. Maybe if this thing stretches out five, six, seven games, maybe. But even then, you're trying to reincorporate a player that has not played with those players in 6 months by that point. It'd be 6 months since Will Barton and Gary Harris. So I'm not counting on them at all. I still think the Nuggets will have enough to get by the Jazz. The one thing that concerns me more than anything else, the Jazz are a nice team.
Yeah.
But the one thing that concerns me is Donovan Mitchell going nuts over the course of 2 weeks. Because he's got the ability to go nuts. He does. And I think that nearly up and down the lineup, the Nuggets match up better with the Jazz. But Donovan Mitchell, he has a star capability. I don't think he's a star yet, but he's got star capability. At just 23 years old, he can go out and put 35 on your head. The same way that he did against the Nuggets in that double overtime all loss.
Yeah.
So,
and you know, we're getting some good reaction here on the RamosLaw.com text line. Hey, Stoke, any different than NFL teams resting players after clinching seeds? You know, it's from P-Rob, ? And so I never liked that in the NFL. I was part of teams like that. And I just like the mindset of, yeah, we might be tired. And if guys are injured, then you want to be careful with those guys. But if you're not injured and you're going to take the cautious approach, at the end of a season, it's not the time to do it. It's just not the time to do it. And you can't be too scared about injuries. You have to be concerned about it. But at the same time, once you get rocking and rolling, you get towards the playoffs, the mindset from the coaching staff needs to be, hey, we'll rest after the season. Let's go. We got to be ready to go, and we got to be ready to play four quarters. And I didn't like the message from Mike Malone, and I don't like the fact that I can't count on the Nuggets and for them to be able to, you know, be me confident in them to be able to finish games off. And have basketball legs under them. I think it's going to really cost them.
Nuggets in six. All right. Whew. Deep breaths. Training camp 2020. Locked and loaded. Our free limited edition shirts are back for another year. Just stay in your car. We'll handle it. We'll be having contactless T-shirt toss giveaways right into your vehicle. Head to 1043thefan.com/shirt to find the Brakes Plus location closest to you. Our first giveaway was Thursday. It's been a raging success. Kendall just killing it out there. So check us out at 1043thefan.com/shirt. Pick up one of those.
Getting some good reaction out here. Our guy Frankie Stoke is a joke this week. Come back better next week.
Did he sign it respectfully, Frankie?
Yep, of course.
Hey, you're a joke. Respectfully, Frankie.
I appreciate you, Frankie.
Oh, Lord.
I'll try to do better next week, buddy.
Stoke will be out at training camp next week. In fact, it'll be Monday. The pads are on. What are the five biggest storylines Stoke will be looking at on Monday? You'll hear him next. The Colorado Avalanche, during the break, took a lead with just minutes left. They are up 1-3-2. Arizona has pulled the goalie.
Empty net. The thing is empty. Right? Nobody's in that net.
No one's in that net.
It's empty.
Six.
That's always something good, right, when you're the team without the empty net.
Right. That's right.
It's a good thing. So we got a TO right now. Somebody called a TO, and we're regrouping around the coach, up 3-2. Here we go. Big goal. Big goal. Because if you get this one real quick, and I'm going to go through my training camp list that I'm going to be looking out for, my top five. But if they can pull this one off and hold on for the next 16 seconds, that's a wrap. It was a wrap to begin with, probably. But Coyotes played as good as they could play. They played as good as they could play, and the Avs played sloppy, sloppy, sloppy.
They did.
Sloppy puck today.
They did. Sloppy puck.
Bad puck. Bad puck by the Avs. And if they still win... Love it. Love it. So 18 seconds, 16 seconds left.
16 seconds.
Trying to hold on.
Come on now.
Let's go.
Come on now. All right. Training camp is now in full swing. The you know, walk up to the full-blown acclimation, you know, period is now behind us. The guys are playing.
Uh-oh. Oh, just missed it.
Gosh.
Just missed it. Holy cow.
Dude.
Wow. Empty net.
I'm on him straight.
Send it all the way down.
Dude, if I had laid a goal and a half with an empty net.
You'd be, I thought it was in. Look at that thing. It's slicing. It sliced away. Literally missed the net by, what, 2 inches?
Yeah.
An inch?
Yeah, literally.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. All right. The boys are out there playing football. The Denver Broncos were out there at UC Health Training Center playing football. Some footage has leaked out from the Broncos. They are going to put together a video package every day of training camp, of highlights and stuff, trying to really best serve the community that is normally allowed to be out there.
Ball game.
And there it is. There it is.
Big, big. Oh,
things are getting
Let's go.
Chippy here after the final whistle.
Yeah. Where's Big Z?
This traditionally happens over the course of a 7-game series. It's fine and dandy,
uh-oh,
game one, but the... You know, it's like being around people you don't want to be around for 2 straight weeks.
Yeah.
So things are getting chippy, but the Avalanche have just officially taken a 2-0 lead in this series. I absolutely love it.
Great job. Great job holding on and finding a way to get a victory when you're not at your best. You ready to go?
Yes, I am.
All right. Good job, Avs. And now let's go with my top five things that I'm going to be looking out for at training camp on Monday because I'll be there. And if you got any suggestions, hey, chime in. RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043. Let me know what you want me to be looking out for. Here we go. You want me to start?
5-1.
Because I was going to go 1-5.
Build it. Let the beat build.
Okay. Cornerback. Opposite of A.J. Boye. What does that look like? Who's out there? Who's taking most of the reps? And who stands out to me? That's at number five. That is something that I'm very interested in. And in cornerback play this year, obviously there's question marks surrounding A.J. Boye plus the cast of characters on the other side of him. Who's going to step up? Is there going to be a guy that steps up and takes over that spot? So I'll be looking out for that. That's number five for me.
Real quick, the cast that are vying for that position. It's
Duke
gonna
Dawson.
Be Duke Dawson.
Callahan.
Bryce Callahan.
Bosby.
Devontae Bosby.
Yiadom.
Isaac Yiadom.
Anybody else? O.J. Mudiay.
O.J. Mudiay. Michael O.J. Mudiay.
I got him and Albert
Okwuegbunam.
Yeah, just threw them all together.
It's the toughest pronunciation class in the history of professional football, and I'm really proud of the way we've handled it.
Well, you've teached me up. You have teached me up on that.
I've teached you up.
Yep.
Sure,
you did a good job
of saying that. But.
Yeah, I think there is, but I screwed it up, and there it is. It's Friday.
So the cornerback, who's going to be that guy? Who's going to be the guy opposite of Boye, and then who's the third guy?
Yeah, and what does Boye look like?
Sure.
Right? I mean, we can't forget that, you know, he's not a shutdown corner. He's just like Revis Island over there. So what is he looking like in his first stint with the Denver Broncos?
All right.
That's number five.
That's five.
Number four. Left tackle, right tackle situation. Garrett Bowles. Yeah, how's old Bowles looking right now? And then the right tackle spot. What's going on over there? You know, we're seeing Wilkinson in there. We're seeing Jake Rogers, we heard. And will DeMar Dotson be getting any action by then? Or is he still, you know, sitting off to the side and learning this offense? So offensive line, but left tackle, right tackle positions. What are those guys looking like?
What did you make of what D-Mac said that at right tackle, Elijah Wilkinson was splitting reps with Jake Rogers. Jake Rogers.
Not surprised at all. He's injured. He's coming back from an injury, so you're not going to let him sit out there and take every single rep. So you're cautious with your approach. And, hey, let's take a look at this Jake Rogers guy. They might like Jake Rogers and want to give him some reps. So it might be twofold. But also, you got to be careful with Elijah Wilkinson. He started on the PUP list. And you don't want to just throw him out there and have a big setback now. If you get a setback, what happens? You're really in a bind if you're the Denver Broncos.
Yep.
So you take the cautious approach, which they're taking with Elijah Wilkinson. I think that's really what it is.
Okay, so that's storyline number four looking for.
Yes, the left tackle, right tackle position. Number three, Drew Lock. He comes in at three. Command of the offense. What does he look like? How comfortable does he look? Does he look like a guy in charge out there? Does he look like that leader? Does he look like he's comfortable in this offense? So that is three. Drew Lock. Second-year quarterback, five starts. Is he the real deal? Is he not the real deal? Obviously, we're going to see throughout the course of the season, but I want to get my eyes on him, obviously. I mean, he's the engine of this offense.
Yep.
What does he look like? How comfortable does he
look? So much is depending on this dude. So much. So, okay, I love it.
That is three. Number two, Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler.
Be still, my heart.
Yes. Throw up the heart sign. Throw it up. Throw it up.
Hard hands.
Yes, there it is. Love y'all, too. What do those guys look like, you know? Especially Jerry Jeudy. Just can't wait to watch this guy operate.
Could he just be the number? I know you don't like the labels, but in the traditional sense of what we know to be a number one,
right,
is it possible that Jerry Jeudy is that dude out of the gate?
Oh, it's possible. Do I think it's going to happen? I'd say no, not right now. Now maybe year two. Cortland Sutton's a really good player. We can't forget that. Okay, I mean this guy.
He is a really good player.
Right, he's a really good player. So
Jerry Jeudy is his name.
Yeah, I'm AJ. Okay, Hamler. I'm just throwing them all in there right now. It's Friday.
It's the last segment on the Friday. Huge curve
I felt like I've delivered. Played golf yesterday. You know, you expect nothing after golf days.
That's right.
But I felt like I stepped
and
up.
And golf
now
night.
Now it's a little bit downhill right now.
Sure.
Me, okay.
Just let it roll.
Yes. I think it's going to be really hard for Jeudy to overtake him in year one with the quote-unquote who's the number one wide receiver. Okay. Does it matter? No. Doesn't matter. But I think eventually, yes, he will.
By year two?
And it could happen.
Yeah.
It could happen. That's how good he is.
Yeah.
And that's the potential that he has. But it's going to be difficult for him to do it.
And I'm hoping that throughout this season, we're debating it.
Yep. Oh, that week, he was the number one receiver. Oh, the next week, it was Sutton. Then it was Jeudy. Then, you know, you go back and forth. That's when your offense is firing on all cylinders.
Juju and AB. How they were. Two years ago.
Oh, yes. Okay.
But it was just like.
You lost me there. I was like, whoa. You're giving nicknames already to these guys?
No.
Jeudy.
Juju Smith-Schuster and Antonio Brown 2 years ago, where One guy's a leader in yards. One guy's a leader in touchdowns. And pick your poison.
Yes, that would be best case scenario for this offense. And that came in at number two, right?
Yes. And what's number one?
Do you want to guess?
I don't have to.
You don't have to. You know.
It's Melvin Gordon and Phillip Lindsay.
You know. That's number one on my list of things to watch at training camp on Monday is what does that dynamic look like? Who's getting first team reps? How are they splitting it up? And that, to me, is the most interesting storyline, and I can't wait to see how it plays out on Monday, what it looks like between those two guys. What do you think it'll look like?
You know, here's what I want to know. And you're going to have to be, like, hyper-focused for this one because it's only going to happen once. Like, who gets the first carry with the first team? Who does the first carry go to? Because we can talk about, you know, how capable these guys are. Someone has to start. There has to be a starting running back. So who gets carry number one? But if they are splitting reps, are they having a competition? And if they're not having a competition, why are you splitting reps?
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see what it looks like, you know, for me. I wasn't really paying attention to
what I know you weren't. I'm waiting for you to say, can you just repeat it?
Yeah. I just wasn't paying attention to what you...
This is just...
What did you say, Zach?
I want you to tell me on Monday, who gets the first carry with the first team?
Yes.
Carry number one. Someone has to start.
Right.
And we heard that they were splitting reps today. If they're splitting reps, are they having a competition?
Right.
And if they're not having a competition... why are you splitting reps?
Yes, I like that. And I'm expecting it to be Melvin Gordon. Who else could it be? Who else could be getting the first rep, the starter rep? I mean, I don't expect to see both of those guys in the lineup getting the first, and Lindsay in the huddle at the same time.
No.
You know, they talked a little bit about trying to do something like that, but it ain't going to happen on Monday.
No.
So who's going to be in the huddle with the first team offense? That is such a tricky situation for the coaching staff. And you don't...
Especially if John's on the balcony.
It's been talked about and discussed. How do they handle this dynamic?
Yeah.
Because it's at the forefront. You hear Phillip Lindsay this offseason talking about it. And, you know, hashtag we gonna see.
Mm-hmm.
So... how do they handle it? They're going to try to walk that fine line as careful as possible, especially during training camp.
Right.
You don't want to start ruffling feathers right now and pissing people off.
Right.
And all of a sudden, so do they give it to Lindsay just to say, hey, do they give it to Lindsay one day and Gordon the next day?
But
I could see it playing out like that.
But when you start to go down that path, unless it's going to look like that on Sundays, unless it's going to look like that on Sundays when you're playing NFL games, I don't think you should be doing it right now because we don't have preseason games. We have a crammed period of time that went from 45 days to 26 days. You have got to get your work in here.
Yep.
There's such an emphasis on these practices. So,
well, what if they do tell us it's a competition? What if they are approaching it like it's a competition?
I think they should be. I think they should be. This is NFL football.
But how? How? How is it going to be a competition when you don't have preseason games? We're talking about the running back position. How do you know who's better when you're not tackling a lot? You're not tackling these guys. Probably if you do it once or twice, that's going to be a lot throughout the course of this training camp. So how can you have a true competition in 2020, this style of a training camp? You just can't at the running back position. So it's going to have to go to somebody. Does it go to the proven guy that's been here and done it? Or does it go to the guy making $9 million? It goes to the guy making $9 million.
So think about what you just said, though. Think about what you just said. Take a step back. Not the guy who's proven it. It's the guy who you're paying.
Yes, it comes down to money, always.
This is supposed to be
follow
a league of a meritocracy. Everything is earned.
Follow the money.
Yeah. I got you. And that's ultimately probably the reality. But I just want to – I want the Broncos to do whatever's best for the Broncos.
Yes. And I think how can you roll anybody else out there but Melvin Gordon if you're the Denver Broncos?
There's a real argument for that.
How? What do you think John Elway's going to sit up there and say, like, oh, my God, I spent $9 million on this running back this year. He has got to play. He's got to play a lot. Or that's a big egg pie in his face. Right? I mean, that's a black mark. That looks awful. Like, first of all, you don't pay running backs in the NFL hardly anymore.
Right.
Unless they're elite, elite, elite. And
Melvin Gordon hasn't been elite,
no,
elite, elite.
And he paid him a lot of money.
Yeah.
That money could have gone to a lot of different other areas.
Sure.
And he paid Melvin Gordon.
Yeah.
A lot of money. And he doesn't play and doesn't start? It just can't happen. It just can't happen. Can't. I just don't see any other way around it.
God, that's fascinating.
I mean, could you imagine what are we expecting? Is Philip Lindsay to be the starter? No, it's just not going to, I can't.
Dude, I'm telling you what, the frustration, if Melvin Gordon starts fumbling that football the way that he did last year and the way that he has shown throughout his career, and you're looking at a guy in Philip Lindsay who's been here for the last 2 years and has never, ever put the ball on the ground, not one time. You know how many fumbles Melvin Gordon has in his five-year career?
12.
14.
Ooh.
14 fumbles. He had four of them in 12 games last year.
Well, that's
you
want
to drive a coach crazy?
Do you want to open the door for Philip Lindsay to, you know, have this job? Start landing on the turf.
Yep.
That's the worst thing you can do as a running back.
And
besides missing pass protection blocking,
sure,
you know, assignments,
yep,
and fumble the football.
And what happens, though? Okay, fine. Melvin Gordon's the starter. Okay? I'm cool with it.
I mean,
I like
you
Melvin
know
Gordon
who
as
I
a
prefer.
Player. You would prefer Philip Lindsay?
Yes, all day, every day.
I like Melvin Gordon as a player. I just didn't think it was a fit the way that they made it work financially here in Denver. And we agree on that. But let's move on, okay? Melvin's the starter. If Melvin is not playing great football, and you are paying them that money, the Broncos coaching staff will increase Philip Lindsay's workload, will they not?
I hope so. They should.
They would have to.
They should.
With that reliable of a, quote, backup, guy who's been a starter and has been thrust into a backup role, or will be, you can't, I just, I don't know. Well, first of all, if you asked me to do my five storylines, there's no way I wouldn't have that as number one, like you. It is, for me, far and away the most...
Well, I'm going to ask you on Tuesday.
Sure.
Tuesday, because you're going out there on Wednesday. So you're going to give us your five storylines that you're looking forward to see. And you'll have a few days to intake other things. You know, this weekend we'll have people out there. I'll be out there Monday. We'll have Columbus out there Tuesday. And then,
yep,
you know, you'll be able to have different types of information than I have right now. And so I'm sure your list might be, there'll be some few differences on it than mine.
Maybe so. Maybe so by then. So, all right.
Austin Fort looks like he's having a knee procedure.
Yeah.
Just seeing this, the tight end Austin Fort.
Yeah, I saw that. Your boy River Craycraft has a tryout with Arizona. Good luck to him. We like that kid.
Yeah. Yeah, always the first one out on the field. First day of training camp. I was always out there. I'm like, I'm telling you who's going to be the first one out on the field. It's going to be River Craycraft.
Yep.
He was that guy 2 years in a row.
You know who it was today?
Do I know who it was today?
Thanks, Brands.
Steven, low blow on the way out, my man. I appreciate that one. Oh, my goodness. That was River Craycraft mispronouncing my name.
Yeah.
You got to love it. The first one out on the field today, you know who it was?
I do know who it was.
Okay, I'm going to say it's a young player.
It was.
And I'm going to go with KJ Hamler.
Good guess. It was Derek Tuska.
Oh, okay, the South Dakota State.
That's right.
Linebacker.
That's right.
All right, I love that.
And Derek Tuska, if you remember back to Matt Russell speaking like 5 months ago.
Yes,
I did. After the draft, he was asked, who do you think could be a sleeper in this draft class, and he said Derek Tuska. He's a defensive player. You said North Dakota State, right? 1AA program.
I think I said South Dakota State, but it's North.
No, I think you said North Dakota.
Okay.
South Dakota. They have a nice football program too. Jackrabbits, if I'm not mistaken. But this dude, Derek Tuska, every single year he was at North Dakota State, they won the national championship.
Wow.
Pretty darn good. And that's a high level of ball that I don't think a lot of folks have enough appreciation for. But he was the 254th pick in the 7th round of the draft. This dude is, I love everything about him, love the story, and I'll make a point to see what he's up to on Wednesday. But he was the first guy out there. Man, this is exciting. This is a fun time here in Denver.
Yeah, it is. As with a big win today, didn't play their best puck today, but were able to find a way to get a victory. So,
you're such a troll.
But they found a way. You know, that ultimately what it comes down to in playoff hockey, they're up 2-0. So great way to start the series. And we got the Rockies tonight.
I don't feel great about the Rockies this weekend.
We got the Nuggets coming up on Monday, and I don't feel great about the Nuggets at all. We got a week of coffee, and unfortunately, I had to take the Jazz because of how the Nuggets handled their final week and a half with the mindset that they did heading into the playoffs. I think it's the worst thing that you can do. So we got a week worth of coffee on that series, and the Rockies. They're going to need to find a way to give some run support to the young pitcher tonight.
Yeah. Ryan Castellani making his second start ever. He was brilliant in his first start. He was actually perfect.
I did say South Dakota State. I knew I said it, and I knew you were wrong, but I wasn't going to just continue it.
Let's try to pick you up.
No, you don't need to pick me up.
In fact, I do. Lance Lynn on the mound tonight for Texas. If you remember game one, opening day, we were so excited. What a letdown that game one was. And Lance Lynn was just brilliant. Lance Lynn was brilliant against the Rockies.
He was. Unbelievable.
He was, and Texas is playing good baseball. They've won 5 of their last 6. Now, they fell on their face to start the season.
Yeah.
They were 3-8 after 11 games. Well, now they've won 5 of 6. And Lance Lynn, in his 4 opportunities at Coors Field, has been pretty darn good. ERA at 2.84. He's 1-1, but he was unsolvable opening day.
Yeah. And we got to remember here, the Rockies need to get this thing back on track. They've lost 3 out of 4, okay? They've lost 3 out of 4.
Just like that?
Just like that. It can change quick in baseball. So you play a lot of games quickly, and, you know, they had a day off. They need to get back on track and get this winning feeling going again at home against the Rangers. It's going to be a tough matchup, but they need to find a way to get a W.
Yeah, they're leaking a little bit of oil. So we'll see. They're at home. You still haven't played the Dodgers yet.
No.
You know what's coming around the corner. And after they play Texas, they got a 4-game stand against the Houston Astros, and then you got the Dodgers for 3. So it's not getting any easier. You got to find a way to take 2 or 3 from Texas, but I don't feel good about it. So you got to win tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen tonight. Castellani, we've seen him one time. We've seen Lance Lynn one time. He was brilliant. But tomorrow,
he's been great this whole year, too.
He has. He has.
A little over 1 ERA, 2-0.
It's not going to get much better now. No. But tomorrow, when Marquez is on the mound, got to win that game.
Must win.
Got to win it.
Must win.
And then you have John Gray on Sunday, and that's one to watch because he
I don't know if I'll be able to watch that one.
If John Gray's not right.
He drove me crazy last out. I might have to just kind of peek in and dip out on that one because he drives me nuts.
The importance of tomorrow's game, can't emphasize it enough. It would be great to get off to a terrific start tonight, but I just have questions about the relief pitching. You know, typically when something in life is too good to be true, it's usually the case. And this pitching staff, I don't know, the back end. Our clock is messed up here. I'm like, we are way over.
You're just rambling on and on.
Gosh.
I'm like, dude, it's time to break. I'm ready to get out of here. It's a weekend. Can I go?
The clock in here is not
get
right.
Get focused. It's Friday. Hey, coming up next. Go ahead and handle it. I don't want to.
Thanks, Stephen. Why don't you take us into the weekend? Go ahead.
Deep breath. I don't want to screw this one up. Next is The Drive.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach?
make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 1043thefan.com.